Welcome to the People and Projects Podcast, where you'll find interviews and insights to help you deliver projects and lead teams. You can find us on the web at peopleandprojectspodcast.com. Hi, this is Andy Coffin, President of the Institute for Leadership Excellence Development Corporate. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the People and Projects Podcast. You know, this episode is sponsored by the Dirty Little Secret of Business e-learning program. What's the dirty little secret of business? It all comes down to relationships. This e-learning program gives you practical insights on how to improve your ability to lead and deliver by developing relationships. Check out the show notes for a coupon code to save 50% during the month of July. So let me ask you a question. How strong is your willpower? When you want to make a change, how successful are you at not only making it, but also sustaining it? Well, whether at work or outside, whether personally or with a group of people, learning how to effectively change is critical, and it needs to start with us individually. One of my favorite books of the year just came out. It's entitled Change Anything. It's from the authors of Crucial Conversations and Crucial Confrontations and Influencer. I had the real pleasure of talking with author Carrie Patterson just recently and look forward to sharing that interview with you in this episode. So enjoy! We're joined today by Carrie Patterson. Carrie has authored award-winning training programs and led multiple long-term change efforts. He received the prestigious 2004 BYU Marriott School of Management Dyer Award for outstanding contribution in organizational behavior. And he did his doctoral work in organizational behavior at Stanford University. Carrie co-authored the best-selling books Crucial Conversations, Crucial Confrontations, and Influencer, The Power to Change Anything. Today, we're talking with Carrie about his team's latest book, Change Anything, The New Science of Personal Success. Carrie, thank you for joining us on the People and Projects Podcast.
Andy, thanks for having me. This is delightful.
Okay, I have to start by just saying thank you because your research and the books that you and your team have done has been very influential in my career and practice personally. And I'm sure I speak for many of our thousands of listeners when I say thank you. So let me just start with that.
Well, thank you for thanking me. It's very nice to hear you. You send these books out into the ether and you don't know, and it's nice to hear good words.
Yeah, well, good. You know, I can't tell you the number of times I've had really good intentions. Like, let's say I'm going to drop 10 pounds or I'm going to change some sort of habit. And when I failed, the problem or so I thought was really lack of willpower. You know, I remember if it's Outback or there's some restaurant that had this dessert called Death by Chocolate. And, you know, that dessert, it's just more compelling than my concern about the calorie count that's somewhere in the back of the menu, I suppose. So a clear message in this latest book, Change Anything, is that we often don't understand willpower and its role in change. So what do we need to know about willpower, Carrie?
We studied about 6,000 people who had suffered with some habit, had tried to solve it for often many years and failed, and then found a way to wrestle that habit to the ground and were successful for at least 3 to 5 years. Everybody drops 5 pounds for 5 weeks, right?
Right.
These are people who had done substantive changes and had been successful for years on end. And we looked for what they had in common. First thing we found out is they did not make fall into what we call is a willpower trap. The willpower trap is believing that if you just exert a little more willpower, if you showed some more personal character, if you mustered up the chutzpah, you could change. And that's simply not true. We have far less control over the change on our willpower than people might imagine. But we do have control around the things that do affect us that are more substantive. It's not an issue of willpower. If you try to willpower your way through a weight loss or exercise or drug addiction, it is going to be woefully insufficient.
I just think of the number of times I've tried to white-knuckle it, right? And what we find is eventually, in fact, what I loved in the book is how you even opened up about how just the odds are stacked against you. People are experts at separating you from your money or to get you to eat it. So I love how you just laid out the case.
We look at all those forces of influence throughout the book, yeah.
Yeah. An important part of your process, from my impression of reading it, is this identifying the crucial moments, you know, those times where, or the situations where it's just most difficult
For example, I got to tell you, Gary, I don't know if you're a procrastinator or not, but I think I am the chief procrastinator if I let myself, you know? And so a crucial moment for me is when I need to know I need to work on something. You know, maybe it's preparing for, you know, an interview like this, or maybe it's a deliverable for a client that I know I don't have to get done tomorrow, maybe a week off. And so there's this voice in the back of my mind, Andy, don't you think you should check email or the latest news? And why is it important for us, Gary, to identify our crucial moments?
Well, we studied people who were successful at change and maintaining that change for time. We discovered that they found a way to sort of do a little study in their head. Yeah. And the research is referred to either negative or positive deviance. Now, let me explain. The negative deviance would be those moments that come across in your life when you behave in ways that don't work for you. You know, maybe you're going along, you're doing fine. I, for example, decided if I was going to walk the talk of this book, I would apply it to myself and lose 100 pounds.
100 pounds?
Yeah, I was substantially overweight. And I have in the meantime, I've lost 60. But what I had to do, like all the other changers, is say, what are the crucial moments, what are the times when if I would just choose to behave differently, my life would change? In my case, for example, I get up and I have breakfast, slam dunk. I like a healthy breakfast. I like it, no problem. Lunch comes around, found the lunch I like. Dinner, same with dinner. Then comes 8 o'clock and the television set and the refrigerator, both talking to me.
Yeah.
You know, that became my crucial moment. These are the points at which, if you were to choose a different behavior, you would achieve a very different result. You don't have to manage yourself 24/7. No matter how horrible your habit is, it's just crucial moments that come up. So the negative deviance is, what did I go wrong, and then what should I do differently? Positive deviance would be, hey, this is the time I succeeded. What did I do this time? And so you study yourself, you find those crucial moments, and you choose to act differently.
Yeah, and this concept of studying yourself, I was really intrigued by it, because there's something about, as you say, being the scientist and the subject. What do you guys mean by that?
As much as we'd like it, nobody out there has designed a perfect change program for us, for our circumstances, our wants, and our needs. That's why you find so many big, massive lists of things to do, because it's the composition of all the ideas that have worked for some people sometime, somewhere, you know, but may or may not work for you. And what happens is often we're compelled into whatever it is we're going to use by not studying it carefully and finding something that's specific for us, but by what's the latest, hottest, newest, or what our friend tells us about. And it turns out that there's no easy way around it. As much as people would love to have a silver bullet, a one-shot, take this, you're solved for life, with recurring and persistent problems, it's not going to work. You're going to have to be the science of studying yourself. And I suggested how you might do that. You look at your moments. Oh, I was going along fine. I fell off the wagon. Next time I'm going to do this. You study yourself. You find the thing. I tried half a dozen things that worked for other people, and weight loss, it did nothing for me. Set them aside, try new things. You study you, you're the scientist, you're the subject. Don't count on someone handing you your perfect plan.
You know what I like about that, Kerry, is when I would fall off the wagon, let's say you use that phrase, when all of a sudden I would eat that thing when I was trying to lose, then I'd almost use that as an excuse to keep going off the wagon for that day, right? Oreo all of a sudden turned into an entire buffet of desserts, right?
You hear people using the language. I had a guy who worked for me. He's talking to his wife on the phone, and they're saying, well, let's go out for dinner. And he said, are we being good today? And I said, what does that mean? He said, well, you know, you're going along, and you kind of like screw up, and you decide, okay, this day is gone. Ergo, this is my chance. Since I'm no longer eating healthy, I'm going to make up for all those suffering days and gorge. You know, and, you know, what you need to learn as part of being a scientist and the subject is how to turn a bad day into good data. Rather than using it as an excuse for continuing in your bad way, say, okay, what was wrong about today? What am I going to do tomorrow to not let that happen again? Turn a bad day into good data.
Yeah, it's an important distinction, I think, mentally, to kind of reframe it as, instead of I'm a loser, it's like, all right, so that didn't work. Let's try something different tomorrow. I think that's very, very powerful, Kerry. And, you know, perhaps one of the most powerful points in the book is that we have to engage multiple sources of influence. So it's not, I think at one point in the book, it's not just putting a fence around things or not just avoiding this one thing, not just one strategy. It's multiple sources. In fact, you even outline 6 sources of influences that can be combined to greatly increase our likelihood of success. So I know there's a lot of chapters that actually go through this, but if you had to summarize those, how would you summarize that, Kerry?
Well, first of all, let me restate the profundity of what you just suggested. As we studied people and asked them, you know, what they tried to do to change, most of them were unsuccessful. We tried to figure out what separated the best from the rest. One of them was that, of course, they didn't make the willpower trap. Once they decided it wasn't just about willpower, they then went about the process of studying their own world and saying, what are the variety of sources out there? The multiple sources. The world is perfectly organized to generate your current conditions and behaviors. And so as they studied it and found what they would work on those. And we found that they felt, and by the way, if they worked on six or more sources rather than just using one thing, they were 10 times more likely to succeed.
Wow, that's
but
compelling.
This isn't in the behavioral sciences. You know, we report findings of 2%, 3%, 5% as significant because they often are. This is 1,000%.
Right.
You do 1,000% better if you use six or more sources. The way we divided them up was, first of all, we create the motivation-ability distinction. Motive is, do I want to do this? Ability is, can I do this? And so the first question we ask is, in addition to willpower, do you have the personal knowledge and skills to enact what's required? And it turns out a lot of people are shocked at how much is required to learn before they can change. I had to learn all about food intakes, caloric consumption, burn rates, and other things for me to be as successful as I wanted to be.
Right.
That motivation ability distinction doubles your chances of succeeding by just adding a second mode of influence. We then stepped outside of our body and said, what role do other people play? How do they motivate me or enable me to do the right thing, or in some cases, the wrong? So of the people who are out there, some of the people who you call friends are actually accomplices.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, I'm heading down to the dock. You want to come down and have a smoke with me, trying to quit smoking. They're an accomplice. They're not a friend. And so you're going to have to learn how to find the people, identify the people around you, whether they're accomplices or friends, and then transform them. Accomplices, you need to sit down with them and say, I need your help in the following way, so that you're encouraging me to do the right thing. You need to associate yourself with better people when it comes to motivating the right behavior. And you need, in some cases, to distance yourself from certain people if they're not willing to change.
Mm-hmm.
But then, so we've added from my personal motive and ability to others, and are they motivating, enabling? That gives us four sources. And then we look to the world, and this is where people almost never look, the physical world around us. Do you know when you go in, well, this may not be true today, but my wife worked at Grand Canyon 30 years ago at the North Rim, and her roommate played the organ at the restaurant that was there. And what do you think the role of the organ was in getting people to eat?
Well, I only knew it because I read it in your book.
No, you
speed it up so you eat faster.
They were playing faster.
I couldn't believe it.
As the line got longer, they play it faster.
Yeah.
People would, you know, pretty soon they're eating to dun, dun, da, da, da. Sort of shoveling it in, rushing out and thinking to themselves, what? I don't remember being in such a hurry. They would never point to the fact that the restaurant music hurried them along, didn't even know it was happening to them. And so looking at the role that physical forces play in both motivating and enabling us is an important piece as well. And we go into great detail chapter by chapter, as you're suggesting, how to identify and then turn them to your advantage.
You know, Carrie, I had to speak in Las Vegas last week, and as I was walking through the casino to check in, which you talked about how, you know, they make you do it, I looked at the carpeting because I'd never noticed before, but you talked about how they look at everything so that you're not looking down at the carpeting, right? It's just fascinating at how those influencing things are going on in the structural part that we just don't even pay attention to.
No. Can you imagine designing a carpet that's so offensive to the eyes that it makes you avert them and look up at the slot machines where you can make more money? They thought of it. You know, can you imagine designing a seat in a restaurant that's so uncomfortable, you know, those plastic seats that you sit down, that you'll eat quick and get out of there so they can turn the table over.
Yeah,
designed by specialists, find it, affect the world around you, and change your behavior.
Amazing. Yeah. So let's take a couple examples just to apply this learning. And let's start with a non-work example. You talked about your goal to lose 100. Well, my wife and I, we've joked about this for years that, you know, we've lost 100 pounds. We've lost it, gained it, lost it, gained it, and you add it up. It's well over 100 pounds.
Right? That's 10 pounds at a time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if, let's say a listener wants to lose weight and keep it off, like what are a couple examples of ways of applying the principles that we're talking about in the book?
Well, in this particular case, we start off with what are the proven scientific behaviors that tend to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go to science and say, you know, for weight loss, what are the two or three things that everybody has in common who's been able to keep 30 or more pounds off for 5 or more years? And the three behaviors are they weigh themselves daily.
Daily.
They keep track of the food they're eating, and they do cardio exercise in their home. That's readily accessible. You can find that, and it's pretty easy to understand, right? I mean, we're tracking what's happening to our body as we burn calories, too much, too little, and we're also trying to get our energy level up. From there, you then have to say, okay, what will it take to get me to do those things? How is the world organized to keep me from not doing it? If you go through and you look at, let's just take the one that sort of says eating 1,200 calories, and you've decided that you're going to do that, you're going to track it. How would you get yourself to do that? Then we go in source by source and look at how to influence. For source one, individual motive, how do I learn to love what I hate? I had to learn that suffering, eating foods that I hated that were, quote, healthy and what I didn't like would never work. I had to find both foods and snacks that I liked. I had to find an exercise that not only could I put up with, but actually get enjoyment from. Then I went to source two and said, which is individual ability, what do I have to learn? And I met with the trainer and found out things I knew and didn't know about eating and exercising. And then I had to sit down with my wife. My wife is the nutritional gatekeeper in our home. She does most of the fruit purchases. And she can either buy apples and put them out on the counter at eyeball height, or she can put them down in the colander somewhere behind or not buy them at all. Or she can put candy bars in front, and I fall victim to that. I had a conversation with her. So you get a feeling. You go in source by source and look at how to influence that source and apply it in your own life.
As the point you have in the book about distance, for me, if I'm going by the pantry, it's pretty easy to open the door and get a handful of something, you know. And so,
because I remember I described to you that 7-8 o'clock at night was my crucial moment where I failed.
Yeah.
About 6 o'clock, I would stack up some good healthy snacks that I liked, and I would move downstairs away from the refrigerator 100 feet away and watch TV there where it was next to my exercise machine. And you know what? Getting up and walking all the way upstairs to get a snack, not so attractive, it turns out.
Absolutely,
Brian Wansink, who's the king of this, he's the guy who's the expert on why we eat what we do, did a study where they put candy – 6 feet away from people at work and then 20 feet away. And they ate like 70% less candy. When he interviewed him, he said, what's with the 20 feet? And he said, you know what? It was just far enough to get me time to think about, do I really want to do this?
Isn't that funny?
I can imagine that 100 feet did for me when I'm downstairs in the basement now. I'm not going upstairs.
Yeah, but you put a tape measure down, 20 feet is nothing, right? But it's just that little thing.
And so
that makes it doable for us, you know? That you listen, little things like that. Like for me, it was almost the equivalent of the deliberate practice point in the book of, I'm going to practice opening the door and not taking a handful of cereal, okay?
Yeah.
It's not that hard to do, right?
Yeah.
But it's just little things that we can string together, not just one, because if that was the only strategy, I'm doomed. But, you know, are there some more strategies? And maybe I'll need to put a padlock on the pantry. We'll have to see.
We had a friend of the family who did put a padlock on it. but we try to, what you want to do are be multiple sources and doable and sustainable sources. That sort of falls in the category of, I don't think we can keep that up very long.
Yeah, exactly.
Inconvenient as well. So.
So let's try one more example, and let's make it a work example. And I kind of alluded to this before. Let's say a listener or host who tends to procrastinate on their projects. And there's times, Carrie, I rationalize, I work better under pressure. And so maybe we use that. But let's say, in particular, in this fictional situation, someone's getting some negative feedback from a boss because maybe they slipped some deadlines or there's some quality issues. And plus, they're just getting tired of these last-minute panics and late nights. How could change anything principles help someone stop procrastinating?
Well, let's assume that the problem is indeed procrastination.
When
you explore that in detail, sometimes their problem is they don't know how to say no and they take on too many assignments and they're over their head.
That's a good point.
And so, but let's assume that's not the case, that they have a balanced workload, they just put it off and then have to rush. You've got to go back to the crucial moment and say to yourself, what's happening there and why am I behaving the way I'm behaving?
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the case of not doing what you know you need to be doing in the moment.
Yeah.
My guess would be, and I would go through source by source and say, source one, personal motive, do I enjoy the activity itself?
Mm.
The answer is probably no. You know, I mean, when was the last time you procrastinated going to a movie, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I mean, procrastination tends to be put off things that you don't take intrinsic satisfaction. What can you do to learn to love what you hate? How can you turn that task into something that's more enjoyable? Can you make it a game?
Right.
Can you, maybe a skill component. You don't know how to do it, and therefore it's painful. Maybe you need some more classes on it. Maybe you could get help from other people and divide it up. More often than not, people are taking their unfair share of the drudge work when they ought to be more passed around. So you start looking at ways of making sure that the task itself can take it on a more attractive stance to it. That would be source one. And you would go through each of the sources, and it might well be that when it comes to social motive, and I'll go a little bit back to my earlier comment, I'm saying no to be nice. I'm saying yes to be nice, and I need to learn to say no occasionally.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm procrastinating the hard one because I've been spending all my time in the fun one to help my friend, and they're so nice to me, and they thank me over lunch and yada yada, and it's not what I should be doing. It's not helping my career, and I need to deal with turn accomplices into friends. And so you can see how those same six sources could apply in that scenario once you've identified your crucial moments and the behaviors and what it will take to get yourself to change.
You know, some of our listeners will find when they buy and read the book that you've got a website at changeanything.com that corresponds with the book. And I registered on there that, you know, anyone who buys it has access to the website. So what would people find there on the site, and how can it help them be successful with their change efforts, Gary?
Well, what makes the site different from just reading the book, of course, is it's an interactive tool that brings up a tool to help you to actually develop a plan that's rich. It gives you ideas source by source. It helps you connect to other people who've had similar challenges. You can create a support network if you like. We're trying to use the social media as a method for bringing about personal change, and we hope that Change Anything becomes the go-to site.
Yeah, I've been a big fan of stick.com for a long time but this is actually interestingly different in that it not only has the accountability aspect and the loss aversion kind of component there to it, but also the help you put together the plan and the inspiring stories. It's maybe a nice complement to it, huh?
For a lot of people, when they're developing their plans, we share with them a generic sense of where to go. We describe it. We give them examples. They find it helpful to get specific examples for their specific challenge.
Yeah.
Because learning to quit smoking is different than learning to quit spending.
Yes. Yeah. Or relationship issues are quite different.
Oh, quite different. Yeah. Career issues may be different. So we have domains of each of those domains are represented, and they give you examples of what the vital behaviors are, what some things people tried, and it's a starting and a springboard, and it helps you create your plan.
You know, something I've noticed, Gary, with myself as well as the experts that I interview is it's easy for us to write about this stuff or maybe give a keynote or workshop. We can struggle at times to practice what we preach, so to speak. So of all that you write and speak about, what's the most difficult for you to practice yourself when you're trying to make a personal change?
Well, I think that I heard a quote on TV the other day. I'm not going to tell you who said it because he's not a very likable person.
Okay.
And I tell people they said it, they discount the idea. You saw be like
right,
quoting Hitler or something.
You're right, exactly. Yeah.
But what the guy said was the will to plan to win is more important than the will to win. And this guy was a famous coach who had successful teams, and he said, you know what? When you're in the moment, you know, having high energy and really wanting to do it, and we all can see that in the middle of a game, in the middle of your life, you know, that's good to have. But the fact of the matter is, sitting back and carefully planning, becoming the scientist in the subject, trying some things, making mistakes, learning from mistakes and moving on, that's the hardest part for people.
Yeah.
The hardest part is the planning part. And if they're willing to do that, if they tell themselves, I'm not a bad person, I just had a bad plan, that could be fixed. You could create a better plan. The minute you realize that it's the plan that's at fault rather than you, then there offers hope. And so we're telling people, you know, do the hard thing, which is work on the plan, but it's the right thing as well.
For me, in response to that, it's I generally won't let a bad day turn into a bad year, but I will let that one time where I just take that handful, let's say if it's eating, and I'll just let that go for the rest of the day. And so it's just for me, it's so many helpful things in the book, but this concept of the scientist and the subject, as well as those bad moments into good data, those concepts are just so helpful for me personally there, Karen. And, you know, before we wrap up, I wanted to get your recommendation regarding Change Anything and Influencer, because they're both about change and share some of those influencing strategies. So how do you position those two books, Carrie? And do you have a recommendation on the order in which we should read them?
Well, the two books were written, first came Influencer, and Influencer deals with how do I influence other people, whether it's my neighbor, my spouse, my community, gang members. We covered worldwide. We looked at individuals who are dealing with bride abductions in Africa. It's all about people who are tasked with responsibility of changing others.
Yeah.
We wrote Change Anything when people said, okay, we get that, but how would I apply it to my own personal change, my own bad habits, myself, me? And so if you're interested in others, then your starting point would be Influencer. If you're interested in yourself, then start with Change Anything.
I wonder if there's some wisdom in start with yourself and then go to others. You're reading the books in the other order. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think in some ways, it's a more honest approach in some senses that you're going to say, let me try it on myself, see if I can get it to work before I try it with others. But it depends on your presenting problem. Some people are facing a horrible situation with their teenage kids who really need to change or suffer dearly, and that will get their attention, and that's what they'll want to work on first.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Kerry, I got to tell you, it's a pleasure to talk with you today. For those who are listening, you want a practical and really engaging guide to making lasting personal changes. I recommend you get a copy of the books Change Anything and then Influencer as well. And I also recommend you check out the book's website and Kerry's organization, Vital Smarts. You can find links to all these in the show notes for the cast. Kerry, thank you for joining us for the People and Projects podcast.
Thanks, Andy.
Make sure to check out the links in the show notes for the books that Kerry and his team have written, as well as a link to their organization. And thank you for joining me for this episode of the People and Projects podcast. Have yourself a great week.
That is a wrap.
That was terrific, Andy. You're good.
Listen to you. Yeah, I got to tell you, this is a good book.
I could tell you read it by the way you asked insightful questions.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, Katarina in the press release has some questions there, and those look like interesting ones, but frankly, these are questions I have.
We'll get interviews, once or twice a week, and about two-thirds of them, you can tell that they're talking about the book cover and the title. And then they'll say, they'll actually say this. Here's an interesting heading. What does that mean? They're sort of like, I get it. So you actually opened the book, found the heading, and that's what you're going to say.
And he did his doctoral work. That didn't sound right.
If you look at the weight loss domain, Weight Watchers is the number two in success worldwide. And they're learning to incorporate all six sources of influence. They don't call it that. But it used to be someone would stand up and say, here's how we fix food. And then someone else would say, well, how do I deal with my friends, until eventually they've expanded that. The problem with the programs that don't have a model is you still end up with big, long lists, and people don't know what to do with them. And that's where they're at.